We're focusing tonight on the first eight verses of Psalm 78. The last 64 verses of Psalm 78 trace the history of Israel, roughly. I don't think technically and chronologically in every way, but trace the history of the experience of the people of God when they obey God's word and when they don't. And you have calamity coming upon them. You have God rescuing them when they return to God's word. You see them living for a time, and then you see them departing and facing the consequences of turning from the word of God. And it almost sounds sometimes like the book of Judges, which has historically their rising and falling, and God's sending judges to help them. In this case, it's a bringing the word of God to them again and restoring them to himself. And the last 64 verses deal with that. The first eight verses are like an introduction and really a picture of God's heart with regard to his word, what he desires with his word when he sends it forth. It may be that at the end of Psalm 78, since David was now on the throne, it may be that Asaph thought that maybe the cycle would change. Having a king who loved God's word and loved God, that this would change everything and the cycle would not continue and people would finally listen to God's word. But it doesn't seem to have happened. We didn't have a radical change. And that pattern of not listening to God's word and then coming back to God's word continues on through to the end of the history of Israel before God finally deals with them in the Babylonian captivity. Saw that often in the book of Isaiah. We saw as we were going through it, time and again, we saw the word of God reached out to chastise and to rebuke the people. But always in the midst of it, we saw encouragement to those that loved God. And again, we'd see right in the midst of it, chastising the people, he encourages those that do love God. And in light of the things this morning, that reminds us that the kingdom of God has always been hidden. There's always been those that evidently loved God alongside those that didn't, and God dealing with his people through his word. And it's always been his word that has restored them and helped them. It's his word that has gathered his true people to himself. And in fact, in the day that Jeremiah speaks of the new covenant, that we have wonderfully come in to experience the new covenant, God puts his word upon his people's hearts. So from the least to the greatest of them, they know him. And they embrace his word. And the blessing of gathering with the people every Lord's Day that love the word of God, it's wonderful to hear God's word speaking to them, helping them, and ourselves feeling God's word helping us. God always uses his word to establish his kingdom. He always gathers his people through his word. He always did. All the way through the book of Isaiah, we saw him seeking to gather people through his word. And so as we looked at the kingdom of God this morning, we realized that God's accomplishing those things. And God's working in such a way as to touch people and bring them to himself was always done through the preaching of God's word. And Jesus came as a preacher. He came as the one who would live a perfect life for us. He came as the one that would die on the cross to pay for our sins. He came as a mighty victor that would overcome Satan for us. But when he came forth to his people, he came as a preacher, reaching out to them. So here we have Asaph, who is giving us the heart of the teacher in verses 1 to 4. He gives us God's design for teaching in verses 5 and 6. He gives us positive goals for teaching in verse 7. And he gives us negative goals of teaching in verse 8. And we're going to look at these passages in that way tonight with those divisions. I think although they don't just jump out at you, I think you'll see that this seems to be the divisions of the thought that Asaph has. So we want to just read verse 7 and then ask the Lord's blessing on the whole passage as we look at it. And it says in verse 7, "Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandments." Let's pray. Our great God, we do thank you for the power of your word. Those of us who have been gathered into your kingdom and know you because of your word. Because in your wonderful sovereignty, you brought your word to us. And you transformed our hearts, and you gave us the desire to serve you, and you drew us to yourself. And you did that by your word. We did see wonderful examples of people that we desired to be like. But the thing that transformed our hearts and made us love you was you made real to us our sin as revealed in your word. You made real to us the rescue from our sin that comes to us in Jesus. You were pleased to open our eyes to behold the glory of God in the face of Christ and renew our hearts and make us to desire to walk with you. And to you be all the glory and praise. We know you did this. You made us part of your kingdom by speaking to us through your word. And so tonight, will you, as the word of God goes forth, would you speak to us again tonight? Would you encourage our hearts? Would you renew our concern to believe and to know you? Oh, Lord, help us tonight, we pray. Grant us your Holy Spirit. Humble us before your word. And teach us as we look at this passage tonight. Oh, Lord, bless us, we pray. Help us to behold Jesus and be drawn to him. We ask your blessing. And we know that these things are the things you desire for us. And so we pray according to your will. And for that, we thank you for hearing us. We thank you for granting us your spirit. We thank you for speaking to us through your word. And we bow before you. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing, well, let's read the passage, Psalm 78, verses 1 to 8. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob. He established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. First thing I'd have us look at tonight is the heart of a teacher in verses 1 to 4. A yearning to make known the things of God. Look at the wonderful yearning of verse 1. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. Is that the yearning of the very heart of God? Don't we have Solomon yearning, urging, calling upon his children, his son, listen to me. God is appealing and calling out, and he's calling out that we listen to his word. Well, this is Asaph's expression of his heart. O my people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. Hasn't that got a kind of power in our hearts if we've known the Lord Jesus? O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. We have in verse 2, speaking of a devising ways of teaching. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things from of old. Isn't a method of teaching as you seek to reach to people is find ways in which to utter the truth. We deal with draw them. And he says, I open my mouth in parables. I'll utter hidden things from of old. It's bringing, devising ways to teach. It's appreciating past teaching. Look at verse 3. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide from their children. There's a desire to bring what we have known and present it to one another and to our children. Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, we will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, and a desire in all that to declare his greatness, the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. Isn't that the heart of a teacher to try to convey that to those to whom they speak? Oh, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We'll tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. Isn't that the spirit of a teacher who's come to know God? A desire. Not simply a matter of delivering his message and fulfilling his responsibility, but appealing that people might hear. Oh, my children, hear me. Certainly a reflection of the heart of Jesus as he came, longing how often he would have gathered, how he called people to himself, how he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. There's a yearning for people to come to God. And that's the heart of a teacher, and that's what God shows us in this passage, the heart of a teacher. We also see God's design in teaching. Whether the writer wanted exactly to have it outlined in this way, we certainly see next to it God's design in teaching. Look at verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 and 6. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children to the next generation, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they, in turn, would tell their children. There's that sense that God's design is decrees, declaring truth. God's design is to make clear his laws that people might be guided into the way of truth. Commands to teach them, and the sense of passing it on. And that certainly is the desire of a teacher, to want to make people know God's decrees, to make him know his laws, and to declare those with the desire that it might be passed on. Well, that's Asaph's concern. Asaph, who will tell us now after this about the terrible decline and the detraction and the turning away that the people of God did, and the longing that, well, we'll see, they're longing that this not be the case with others. He goes over God's design, decrees, laws, and the command to teach them. God is purposing to establish his kingdom upon the earth. He will do so with decrees, with laws, and commanding his people to teach and to pass on the truth that he's given. I remember hearing at one time someone, I think they thought that they wanted people to be very relevant. He obviously wanted to reach people and minister to them the gospel. But I remember a foolish statement being said. It said the gospel is better caught than taught. Now, I know what they wanted to say was you live in such a way that people will want it. But that is not God's design that the gospel be caught. It's that it be taught. God's intention is that it be taught. His intention was not just that we'd get the idea of what it'd be a Christian by the example of others. Praise God when we're around people who are seeking to live for God and are a good example. But the gospel is not better caught than taught. The gospel is to be taught. God's declared that we should declare his decrees, his laws, his commands to teach, and we should pass it on. In the next section, verse 7, he's got the goals, the positive goals in teaching. What's the thing we're going after in teaching? Well, in verse 7, positive goals in teaching. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. That's a positive goal we have, that those that hear will put their trust in God and not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. How much of that's our desire when we deal with children, especially, that they would put their trust in God, that they would not forget the great things God has done, and that they would keep his commands. Well, this is the positive goal of teaching, and it's what Asaph desires. This is the reason he wants people to hear the word, in order that they would put their trust in the Lord, that it would not simply be a matter of knowing academically or intellectually the truth, but put their trust in the Lord. That's the goal of teaching. That was Jesus' goal in teaching, that people put their trust in him. And that's the goal that Asaph has, as he longs to see the people hear the word of God. Put their trust in the Lord, not forget his deeds, would keep his commands. And then the negative goal, they would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. There's a desire that they not be like the example of their parents had been, the example of their forefathers had been, but they would be those that turn to God. He's about to tell us about the wonderful and amazing story of how the people of God were stubborn and rebellious, a stubborn and rebellious generation, their hearts not loyal to God, who were not faithful to him, and point out instance after instance where their rescue was to return to God. And so his desire is to declare, in a negative sense, what he wants. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirit were not faithful to him. Might be that this passage can speak very much to us. Perhaps we can remember when we didn't know the Lord and we realized what God did in our hearts. What did he do to bring us to Christ? Well, he enabled us to hear God's teaching, to listen to the words of his mouth. We heard them with our ears. We were told things. We went to Sunday school and we went to Vacation Bible School and we knew a lot of facts and they came into our minds, but we hadn't heard them. And they hadn't spoken until God was pleased to open our ears to hear. God spoke to us, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. And we came to the point where we began to listen, where it spoke in such a way as to speak to us. We heard the heart yearning of the teacher, yearning to make him known. We heard the images and the parables and the stories that began to make sense to us, and the things that were declared began to register. God used them to show us and make alive the reality and bless us. And we can perhaps look back to the time when God began to make that real to us, as he began to open our eyes to see and our ears to hear. And we listened to the parables with understanding. Before, they'd been like the parables, who were only confused and you don't really see. But then you saw, and it began to be clear. And we can look back and see that God was pleased to make these things happen in us. We looked and desired to teach and to encourage each other, share others with others the things that we had seen, and rejoice together in what we've seen, and we longed to pass it on to others. Those things began to be real to us as God was pleased to open our ears to hear and our eyes to see and to make us want to hear what God had to say. Oh, my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. We can be called to remember the great things God has done. We came to see the wonder of who God is and the great things. It meant something that God has done these glorious things. We probably had heard it before, but the wonder of it and the amazement, the sense of being caught up with a joy in the wonderful things God has done. Why does that matter to us? What difference does it make? Well, it speaks to us. It lifts us. Something opened our eyes to see. God in some way made what Asaph is longing for to take place in our lives. We heard the decrees of God and wanted to obey them. The time before, we would know them and hear them, but it wasn't a moving within us that appreciated them and wanted to hear them. But we do now. We appreciate the decrees of God. We want to know what God has commanded. We do want to do it. It's the work that God has done to accomplish the things that he speaks of when Asaph is yearning for us. God has enabled us to hear his decrees, to hear his laws, to want to hear, want to learn, and want those things to be passed on to people that we love. We have the experience of coming to the positive goal of teaching. God has brought us to trust in God. truly to know that Jesus died on the cross for us, that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, are alive to God. We've trusted in God. We believe that our souls are safe in him. And it's something we believe. It's not something that we've heard and that people have said. It's come to us because God, by his Spirit, has awakened us to a trust in God, a remembering of his deeds, and a desire to keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. There's not in us a sense of the necessity of having to do these dumb things that God said. Maybe there might have been a time where we'd speak in that way, but not now. The commands that God has are not grievous. We don't not want them, but we desire them. God has worked in our hearts to want to do the things of God, to want to obey him, to hope we can obey him, and to feel discouraged when we fail to obey him. Not because of some punishment we'll receive, but because we wanted to do what God wanted us to do. Paul could say, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He accepts what God says. It's good. He's frustrated with the fact that he can't do what he wants to do because God has worked in the heart to want to obey God. And so our desire is to trust in God, to remember his deeds, and to keep his commandments. Some of us can say we very much want to be different from what we were growing up. Or some of us come from a Christian home and it would be wonderful if we were like our parents. But some of us come from a non-Christian home and it's a great deliverance not to be like that. Not to be like those that were foolish. Not to be like those that disregarded God's word. Not to be like those who cared nothing about God. But being one that loves God and wants to serve him. I can certainly speak of that myself in looking back and realizing I don't want to be like my forefathers. They were a stubborn and rebellious generation. Their hearts were not loyal to God. Their spirits were not faithful to God. And I thank the Lord that he's, by his mercy, has opened my eyes to change me so that I'm not like them and don't desire to be like them. God's done an amazing thing, and the negative thing, not like my forefathers, not wanting to be stubborn or rebellious, not wanting to be disloyal, not wanting to be bad-spirited, not wanting to be unfaithful. God has been pleased to work, and many of us can declare God has brought us to the point where, as we see in verse 7, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds and would keep his commands. All of that attitude of heart that comes about when God works by his Spirit in these ways are what put us into the kingdom of God. It's the preaching of God's word and the calling to people in this way that brings them into God's kingdom. He doesn't bring us in some magical way or some just an energy-wise where he just transforms us. He changes our mind. He shows us the truth. He causes us to hear and understand, and he works in our heart to want the things that are preached in God's word. But the means he will use to bring us from darkness to light, to bring us into the kingdom of God, will be the preaching of God's word, the declaring of his truth, and our hearing it with understanding and with faith. And God has been pleased to do that for most of us, has made us want to believe God, want to serve him, and want to know him. We're thankful for the kingdom of God. We see that it is indeed, as we looked this morning, it's partially hidden, going on, and yet in the midst of the going on and around it, others that are not perceiving, not recognizing God. And we live in a way where it's partially hidden. The Lord's been pleased to reveal to us, and we live in the world. Still, it's partially hidden, but we're part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is partially hidden and clear to us. It's wonderful. It's surprising. And we thank the Lord for the surprised by the grace of God, surprised by seeing the wonder of who God is. There's a preciousness to us that's real to us. And there's a sense in which we know that this is destined to be known. What we now believe, though we aren't, it doesn't yet appear what we are, yet we are the kingdom. We are the children of God. It doesn't yet appear what we will be, but when we do appear, we will be like him, or we will see him as he is. what we're to be, John, it says it in 1 John, what we are to be is not yet shown. But it's real, and there's coming a time where it will be known. And when it is known, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. God has brought us, by his wonderful grace, brought us into a knowledge of God. And coming into the kingdom involved a hearing the word of God as it comes forth, the heart of God as it comes forth in his word. And we have the Lord Jesus himself yearning for those to whom he came, and something of the reflection of the very heart of God to us, the heart of Jesus as he came as a preacher. And we can almost look at these things in verse 1 to 8 in Psalm 78 and see the heart of Jesus. Let's look at it in that way as I read again Psalm 78, verses 1 to 8. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and his wonders, the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they, in turn, would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. We can worship God and bless him tonight that he, by his mercy, has brought us into the kingdom of God. He's enabled us to hear the voice of Jesus as he's spoken to us, and to have a heart desiring the things that God's been pleased to reveal, wanting to know him, wanting to understand his parables, wanting to understand the hidden things from of old, and longing that we might reach out to give them to those that we love. We've experienced that by the wonderful grace of God. And we don't want to hide them from their children, but to show them to the next generation. These things are beautiful to us, and we long for them to be the case, because God has been pleased to grant us his Holy Spirit. God's been pleased to grant us a citizenship in the kingdom of God. He's taken us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And he's given to us what Asaph is longing for in this point, and is the longing of God to us when he longs for us. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. As I speak of that longing and the desire, is that in your heart, have you recognized the need, a desire, a longing to hear God, to understand the teaching that he gives, to submit to his laws, to follow his statutes, to build your life upon the things that he has revealed? Sense in your own heart a desire for that, a longing to bring praise and honor to him and exalt his great name, have his deeds to be known by others and to be testified and declared? Isn't there within you a longing that all be the reality in your life? Well, that's what God does when people have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. When they've recognized the message of the gospel, that we're sinners, cut off from God under the judgment of God, deserving condemnation forever. And Jesus came to live the life that we couldn't live, die on the cross to pay for our sins, and has urged us to turn from our sin and believe in him. And as we've done that by his wonderful grace, we've become members of the kingdom of God. And so the many within Israel, members of the kingdom of God. That was a wonderful thing in seeing, as we went through Isaiah, the strong judgments of God, and yet in the midst of wonderful encouragement. Because even though many were turning away from God and rejecting, there were those within that were saying in the heart, preach it, brother, and were delighting to hear the prophet preach it, finding encouragement. Well, may God help us to be those people who hear the word of God and feel within our hearts, preach it, brother, declare the truth, and long to hear it. May as God has worked that in us, it's an evidence that he's brought us into the kingdom of God. And it is blessing and it is wonder to know and to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, may he make those things real to us. May he help us to appreciate the kingdom of God as it's revealed to us in God's word, and the privilege it is that our hearts have been turned to long for the things of God, and we have been drawn to believe in him. May the Lord help us. And if those things are not real in the way I'm speaking of them, a genuine yearning within our hearts to have these things, what one needs to be a member of the kingdom of God is to have that yearning, to have God in some way working in you, that's the yearning of your heart. If God's not done that, then ask him that he will do it. Because what it is to be a member of the kingdom of God, it's what God does when he turns you from darkness into light. May God do that. May we be partakers of the new covenant. May we be those on whom the law of God is written on the heart, and we desire to walk in his way. From the least to the greatest, all trusting in Jesus and all wanting to serve and honor him. May the Lord help with that in our own lives. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the passage that we've looked at tonight. We thank you for the yearning of Asa. He who had seen so much of rebellion against God and ignoring of God and the calamities that came upon his people and the blessing that came when they turned from their sins and sought the Lord. And he so longed that they would hear his words as he spoke, and longed to hear and to receive them and accept the decrees of God and accept the commands of God as things they wanted to do, and then wanted to share them with their children, that their children and their children's children and the next generation, even to the third and fourth generation. Indeed, there's a reference in the scripture of 1,000 generations. Lord, we pray that you'll receive our thanks for your goodness in our lives, and we pray that you'll work more and more the reality of Jesus empowering our lives and helping us to yearn heavenward. Bless us and watch over us as we think of these things, and give us grace to worship you in the last hymn. We pray in Jesus' name.